The Anton Savage Show with Kearys.ie on News Talk.
We're talking before the break with Mary O'Kane, and she was making the point that the studies show that social media at the moment seems to be having a significant impact on kids' sense of self-worth and well-being, but a disproportionate impact on girls' sense of self-worth and self-image, which is something that our next guest has looked into a fair degree, particularly around how that overlaps with things like athletics and sporting participation. She was the host of the documentary Why Girls Quit Sport. She's now presenting the health and well-being show Supercharged. She's won 965,000 All-Ireland medals, Rosa Tralee. She's been on with Doughty on the Today Show. A busy woman, let's be clear. Anna Geary, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Anton? That was brilliant. I'm delighted.
Lovely to talk to you.
You too. If I could only find all those medals now, it would be brilliant as well. I don't know where. They're in shoe boxes all over my bedroom at home, I think.
Is it 9 in total?
I've 4 senior ones with Cork and then 3 senior with my club, which is very important, just as important as the medals with Cork. And then, you know, so underage 7 and whatnot. Yeah, so 7. So it's not too bad.
Do you hold the record?
I definitely do not. Or Bridge Barkley and Rena Buckley have like 18 All-Ireland medals each. I mean, they're just throwing them around for fun now. I think they probably give them out to people on their way home and they visit their houses if so many of them.
Does it remain as exciting when you've done it once or twice?
It really does. Because if you think about it, it's like anything you do in life when you have a goal, because everybody's got stumbling blocks to get to a specific goal. So when you kind of reach it, whether it's your first All-Ireland or it's, you know, for me, I suppose 2005 was the first time I won my first All-Ireland title starting. I was in my Leaving Cert year. So we had started championship 4 days after I finished my music exam, my Leaving Cert. So that was really special. You know, 2014, you know, come almost 10 years later, I was captain of Cork when we won. So every year, I suppose, there's something with it and there's something special. And, you know, I'll never say no to an All-Ireland medal, Anton. I don't think many people would, to be honest.
Do the butterflies abate? Do you get less nervous 10 years in?
I think, if anything, you get more nervous the longer you're into your career, because when you're younger, I suppose, there's this, you know, I suppose naivety, maybe, and maybe a little bit of arrogance, which you need when you're younger. I'm going to be here forever. I'm going to do this every year. And then I suppose when you get older, you realize it's so much harder to get there. And maybe this will be my last medal. And I hope, you know, the girl that's 10 years younger than me that I'm chasing around in the field isn't going to beat me to too many balls. So, you know, there's always nerves, but I what I say to even younger people when I speak to them is nerves are a really good thing, because nerves tell you that what you're about to do matters. And it's about then how to, I suppose, harness the nerves and channel them for good. Because if you're not nervous about doing something, well, then, you know, your body, you don't get the adrenaline rush. You don't get kind of like the butterflies, like you mentioned. And then I suppose that's nearly where the complacency can set in. So I always think the minute I get nervous, I'm like, this is good. I'm ready. My body's getting into gear. I'm getting into the zone.
Now, I mentioned earlier on that thing of the female participation sport.
Yes.
And you hosting the Why Girls Quit Sport documentary. Give me your view on this, because this is one of those areas where I am not qualified to hold an opinion. But I look at things like the Camogie Association's decision in relation to Scores. I look at Nike's latest uniform for the US female athletes and think this seems to be the most exploitative, extraordinary two-tier system designed to encourage men and disqualify or at least objectify women. As I say, I don't have a dog in this fight, so I'm not given the rights to have this opinion. What do you think?
I suppose, even though they're under the one umbrella, they're two very different arguments. I'll start with the Scots. I suppose, look, as a former player, it was very disappointing to see the delegates voting against the option of shorts to be introduced. And I suppose the biggest reason for that is, what I'm not necessarily, some people are saying, oh, is it because they want to get rid of the look or the optics of skirts. For me as a player, it's not necessarily that, because you see in hockey, you see in tennis, you know, it's not like it's the only sport where the skirt is used, but it's more, I suppose, the fabric, the material, the design of the skirt, a lot of players would feel isn't the most comfortable. And I think for players to have voiced their opinion and said, you know, we would prefer if we weren't wearing these because we're trying to focus on optimizing performance. So for the delegates who ultimately represent the players, for them to ignore the voice of the players, I think, was very disappointing, because obviously, like, you know, the players are at the epicenter of our game. And me, even now out the other side, it's not just about the playing on the pitch. It's also about the importance of what goes on off the pitch. And I suppose the PR, the press, the, you know, the headlines even, you don't want them to be negative, Anton. You don't want people to be always talking about the Camogie Association in a negative light. So I think it was just disappointing. And I felt this heave of this sigh when I saw that it had been defeated. And I suppose now the big thing is it can't be brought to Congress again until 2027. So I suppose now I'm all about finding solutions. And I think it could be a good opportunity perhaps for the Camogie Association to maybe compromise and say, well, look, if it's the skirt or the design or the, you know, the discomfort that you're, you know, in when you're playing the skirt, well, maybe let's redesign it. Maybe let's take a group of players, maybe build up some prototypes and change the skirt.
But see, this is the bit that I don't get in this, Anna. And again, I'm asking you as the expert with the skin in the game, which I don't have. But I would look at this and say, in male sport, when you look at uniforms, the things that get talked about are performance. Whether true or not, you get all of this stuff about the latest polymer technologies that either make you harder to tackle or that wick sweat or do all the rest of it. I can't think of a single aspect of a male sporting uniform wherein its sole purpose is to express your gender, which is the sole purpose of the skirt. It is there for femininity. There's no practical purpose for it. And these are elite athletes.
Tradition dictates, I suppose, that was the uniform that was worn. And you're right. And to me, I suppose, as a player, it is all about optimizing performance, enhancing performance and ensuring that performance is at the focus of what we're trying to do, which is grow the game. So I completely agree with you. I think, you know, this for me fundamentally is about what the players want and listening to the majority. And if the players feel that the skirt is not enhancing performance, well, then we do need to revisit it. And in some ways, I said now that it's gone off Congress and can't come back for the next few years, we need to compromise and say, well, we need to find another way to ensure that the players are happy in the gear that they go out in. Now, I suppose going to your next point about Nike, I actually thought it was a PR stunt when I saw Nike put up the pictures.
Now, if anybody hasn't seen this, just to explain, this is the Team USA Nike outfits. For the men, they are the fairly standard sort of short sleeve, tight skirt, and shorts just above the knee. For the women, they are a bathing suit looking costume that is smaller than that which would have been worn on Baywatch.
Yeah, I wouldn't even feel comfortable wearing what they're wearing on the beach. I mean, you really, it absolutely baffles me when you think about track and field athletes, the speed that they go at, the twisting, the turning, the jumping, how they could actually consider it appropriate, even from an audience perspective, like even watching that. I mean, it's just, it absolutely baffles me to think that there's somebody that made the decision or multiple people that made the decision that thought it was okay for like the high rise. And when I say high rise, I mean, it's a high rise suit that the girls would be expected to wear. And I saw some of the USA athletes come out and make quite direct observations about what it would be like for them to perform in the outfits. And it just, if we're talking in this day and age about equality, if we're talking about like that optics, if we're talking about the importance of keeping girls in sport, well, then surely there should be parity when it comes to gear. And when you just see the men, I mean, their shorts, the shorts are, you know, all the way down to their knees. And then with the girls, you've been looking for the rest of the outfit. It just baffles me. And I just don't, I'm really surprised at the likes of Nike, who have incredible female athletes on their team, how they would think it's okay to put that out there. And I really hope that the public like outcry about this too, because It's just not okay. It's not okay in this day and age for us.
Because I know if the roles were reversed and if it was me who was raising these questions, I know there would be people who would say, look, it is up to the women themselves if they feel comfortable in it. This is empowerment. This is comfort with her. And it is negative for you to comment in any way. What about that argument that says, look, this is just a recognition of the beauty of the female form. Let them at it.
But the thing is, the athletes themselves are coming out saying, what? You expect us to wear that? You know, I mean, really, and to be quite crude about it, you would need a wax if you were going to be wearing something like that. It would just, I mean, everything would be on show. And it's just, it really disappoints me and actually infuriates me to think that it's okay to say, well, this is what you're expected to wear while also performing to the best of your ability on the biggest stage in the world with the hope that you're going to contest for a gold medal. But your male counterparts, well, we'll cover them up and we'll make sure that they're in gear that actually, you know, allows them to be comfortable while they're performing at a top level. It's just, it's baffling. It really is. And I really hope that Nike withdraw it and redesign it, because they do have time, and I just hope that sense prevails.
To go back to where we started, do you think that then impacts on continued female participation in sport? Because one of the things that your documentary highlighted is that precipitous drop off around the sort of 11, 12 years of age, where you start to get gender striation in sports, and you get a disproportionate drop off from women. For girls who are 8, 9, 10, 11, looking at that adult two-tier system, does it have an impact?
I think there's many different facets, Anton, when it comes to why girls quit sports. Certainly that is one of them. And I know you mentioned social media earlier on. I suppose that is also the pressure and the expectation out to look a certain way is huge. And I think, you know, even for me, I didn't grow up as a teenager in the world of social media. So again, I suppose I'm only looking on as an observer, but I'm also looking on as an adult that engages with social media, and sometimes somebody that feels the pressure to look a certain way as well. So I can only imagine what it's like for teenagers, particularly teenagers in sport, because, you know, when you think about an action shot, I've had many action shots taken of me down through the years, some of them quite unflattering. And of course they're unflattering, because if you're, you know, getting to grips with a game, or you're tussling for a ball, or you're trying to mark your opponent, it's, you know, you're not worried about a camera taking pictures. So I think there is this pressure, and girls probably feel it more than boys do because of, you know, body image and changing and body insecurities. Now, again, young men have those too, and sometimes we can overlook that. But the numbers do show that girls drop out of sport. But for me, I suppose, setting that argument aside, and it's one that's talked about a lot, there is also very, very simple fixes, or very simple things that we can do to try at least to retain girls in sport. And I suppose one of the biggest ones is the environment that we create, Anton. Like from the documentary, one of the things that I realized was, if you create an environment where girls feel safe, comfortable, they feel they won't be humiliated or embarrassed if they make a mistake, or, you know, I suppose singled out, then it really, I suppose, watch them flourish and watch them grow. Sometimes there is this argument that girls don't like competitive sport. I didn't find that to be the case. I actually found once the environment was enjoyable for them and they felt comfortable, they had no problem with being competitive. In fact, you know, it really allowed them to be more competitive. And I think it's a real responsibility that parents, coaches, teachers, whoever has, particularly with younger people, younger girls, if you have them in sport, we almost need to redefine what success looks like in sport. And for me now, coming out the other side of top level sport, it's retention. So we need to say, well, what is it that we need to do to make sure that if 20 girls walk through the gates of the pitch or the arena in 2024, how can we make sure the 20 of them walk back through in 2025? And creating that fun environment is definitely a key part. It's not about the focus on winning. And like, if you even think about it as a parent, if your child comes through the door and you weren't able to make their match, they come in the door, what's the first question you ask them?
Did you win?
If you ask them, did you win? It should be, did you have fun? And it really should, because these are not top class athletes, Olympians, professional sports people. We're trying to encourage younger people to get out there and get active from a mental health, physical health, social point of view. So we need to change the language around it then, to make sure they know, well, actually, winning isn't the most important thing. Having fun is. And you might think, ah, that's not a big deal. It is. And I've heard it from their mouths. It is a big deal. If they're having fun, like in anything in life, if you're having fun, you're much more likely to stay doing it.
Anna, always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Now, before I go, I have to give a quick shout out. Speaking of enjoyment and exercise, Ireland's Fittest Family, Anton, is recruiting at the moment. We have about 2 weeks left before the applications close.
Can I come in and just do the hang off a thing? I like the hang off a thing.
Love you to do it.
I don't like the running through the mud, but the hanging off a thing, I think I'd be good at.
We will get you set up with that, the hang tough. We absolutely will. But you know, there's a big change this year, and I suppose it's for people to know that we have widened out the makeup of a family. So now a cousin or an aunt or uncle can make up your fourth member, which is huge, because some people don't have the four. So once there's a parent and child combination and there's one female on the team, then you can now add a cousin or an aunt or uncle into the mix, which, you know, is a game changer for people. So they can go on to rt.ie/Ireland's Fittest Family if they want to, you know, take part this year. And I promise, like, you're talking about combining fun and exercise, it's one of the best things you'll ever do. But I think this will allow more families now to consider taking the leap in 2024. And of course, we'll have to get you up on the bar now for hang tough.
That's all I want.
You've set it to the nation, Anton, so we have to, make it happen.
You did one where you suspended some guys over the Liffey in Dublin Port, and I thought that looks like good crack, because worst case scenario, you end up in the Liffey, and there's, you know, that's not so bad.
Yeah, well, we can absolutely make that happen. We can dunk you into the Liffey, no problem.
Yeah, form an orderly queue, Anna. Anna, thank you so much. The one and only Anna Geary there.
You.
And obviously you can just fling World's Fittest Family into Google and the production company details will come up there and you can go and push your uncle over a hill or through a bog or all of the things that you've always wanted to do to him.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie
on News Talk.